Okay, we begin here on the bottom of Chav Dalet Amud Bet. The Gemara is purportedly quoting the Mishnah, although it's not even clear that the Gemara here is quoting the Mishnah. It might actually be quoting the Mishnah in Me'ilah and not our Mishnah itself, because in our Mishnah itself, this issue does not arise as clearly. I'm going to see that in the issues with regards to the Girsa. It says, Hayulo ma'ot stumim yiplu l'nedava. That if a person has ma'ot that are not defined, then they go to nidava, which means that they end up as olot. It says, v'alo d'mei chatat mu'uravin bahen. Aren't there monies of chatat that are mixed up in this pool of money? This pool of money is going to be used to pay for a nazir who's bringing a korban. And the nazir tahor who brings a korban includes an olah, shlamim, and a chatat. So even if you say they're undefined, the monies, still, at some point, you're going to reach into the part of that pool of money which would have been used for a chatat. So why are you allowed to make them all into a lot? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha hi bin nazir. Halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that monies of a nazir, when they are not defined, that money can be used towards olot or to nidava, even though it may have a chatat contained within that pool of money. And Tosafot says that this din is specific to when there is demei chatat mixed in it, because if it was just demei shlamim and olah, then you would split the money and put half the olah, half the shlamim. So the Loch Lamosh Misinai references when there is demei chatat mu'ravin bahen, then this is the din that yiplud in edava. Le'ish lakish amar, l'chol nidrehem, u'l'chol nidvotam. He darshins from the pasuk, Torah amra, mutar neder, yehele nidava. Whatever is excess from a neder goes towards a nidava. And just like nazir is a neder, that's how one generates the neder nizirut, that's how one enters into a nizirut, so it's a result of a neder. So two over here, the motar neder will go to nidava. So the Gemara says, Bishlam other Rabbi Yochanan damar halocha hi bin nazir. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's halacha l'moshe misinai, Amatu lahachi stumim in mifurashim lo. So the halacha l'moshe misinai only applies to money that is stumim, which is undefined pool of money that's going to be used to pay for the korbanot of the nazir. Whereas if you have explicit monies, which are chatat, shlamim, and olah, then you can't bring the chatat, gets taken to the yamamelach, the shlamim and the olah end up on the mizbeach. Elarish lokish, the chol nidrehem, or the chol nidvotam, Mayriya stumim afilu mifurashim. According to Rish Lakish, who says it's a drush from the pasuk that any excess from a neder automatically gets put into a nedava, why should there be any difference to whether the pile of money is stumim, undefined, or it is mifurashim, defined? Amarova mifurashim lo matzit amart. You can't say that with regards to defined money. Kfar paska tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Because we already have this from the tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. And as the Rishonim point out over here, even without the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have the Halacha l'Moshe Misinai with regards to Chatot that are left over, whether it's Chatat, Shetnikapru Balea, Shemeta Balea. We have certain rules with regards to a Chatat that is left over. And so you could have just quoted the Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. The Gemara opted to quote Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel because they rather have the Drusha from the Pasuk. And because of that, they quote Tana Debei Shmuel to the same result, which is that midoraita, we're going to see now that a chatat cannot be put on the mizbeach when it is excess and when it's left over. And that'll be the reasoning behind Reish Lakish. Or the way Tosfot says it, they brought the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel because we get a benefit of not just the Loch Moshe Misinai, which deals with chatat and asham, but we also get the din of Allah and Shlamim thrown in as well. Now, to the question that was raised by David, which is, it's not clear here that when you have ma'ot stumim, that there is the mei chatat that is mixed up inside of that pool of money. Because when you put the money aside, the person can use that money towards paying for his korbanot as a nazir. That means that he could possibly use all the money towards a shlamim, all the money towards an olah, all the money towards a chatat, or somehow divide up the pool of money. Even if it is stumim, the money doesn't necessarily contain a chatat inside of it. It's possible that there is no chatat money included here. So the Rishonim, Tosafot here, makes a distinction that's important. He made it yesterday as well, on yesterday's daf, and he makes it here as well, which is depends how it was worded. And that If the person words it in such a way that the pool of money is open, then that money can be used towards any one of the korbanot. On the other hand, if he defines the money being specifically for the korbanot and nazir, then he's got to use it, divide it up, based on the korbanot and nazir. And he says, "V'hu adin dava masi letuve elo dmei shlamim mu'ravim bo." The question is not just about a chatat, it can be about a shlamim as well. Shlamim doesn't go kaliyot, doesn't become an olah. If you have a pool of money here, which includes chatat, shlamim, and olah, then why are you making it all into an olah? So if you have monies that are mixed up here, why are you allowed to do this? Because a chatat is a much stronger question, because a shlamim at least ends up on the mizbeach. May not be an olah, but ends up on the mizbeach. Chatat would not end up on the mizbeach at all. If he specifies that this money is towards my nizirut, then he can define what he wants with it. He can make it all for shlamim, all for an olah, all for a katat, or split up as he pleases. But on the other hand, he specifies these are for the korbanot of my nizirut. Lo yuchal lavi b'kulan korban echad, the korbanot kamar, because he said korbanot in plural, and therefore he meant all the korbanot of the nazir. So depending on how you define the money, will have a different result. I mean that if you define the money as being monies that are specifically for the korbanot and nazir, then what we said in our gemara is true, that it contains within it olah, shlamim, chatat, and then you have either the halacha l'moshe m'sinai or the din d'oraita, that these excess monies get turned into a nidava, which is all olot. On the other hand, if you have the money undefined, which you simply say that this money is towards my nizirut, then you could bring it all as olot, all as shlamim, obviously not as a chatat, because a chatat doesn't come voluntarily, but then the monies are not defined as being from these three korbanot, and they may not be subject to these rules. You could say, oh, I was going to use it all for shlamim, now I'll bring it as a shlamim nidava, that is subject to the rules of a El Nazir, or you can bring it all as an Olah, because there the money is less defined. And for that reason, you can see in the second to last Tosafot on the previous Amud, on Chavdal Amid Bed, he says, Hachi Garsinan Bisvarim, Vayulo, Umashman Dekai Amafrish Ma'ot Neziruto Demesechet Mi'ila. He says he thinks this is going on a person who was Mafrish Ma'ot Neziruto in Mesechet Mi'ila, Velo Amit Nitin Da'ocha. And not on our mission over here. Dayulo Ma'ot Stumim. Why is no question our Mishnah here? Fact is, in our Mishnah, you could say that they were simply ma'ot l'nizirutai. And therefore, you could all have them all go to nidava without having the chatat incorporated. Because he could bring them all as an olah, all as a shlamim, whatever he chooses. That's why Tosfot thinks the reference is to the Mishnah in Mi'ilah, where there he says that it's ma'ot l'kurbanot nizirutai. And therefore, that's why the whole Gemara's question derives from that. And based on that, he says that even though it looks like a quote from our Mishnah, it's not a quote from our Mishnah, but rather a quote from the Mishnah in Mi'ilah, which we had just brought up. We had just discussed that Mishnah in Mi'ilah. And so the Gemara now continues to discuss it in the context of Nizirut that is mentioned in that Mishnah in Mi'ilah, that over there it's a problem, even though in our Mishnah you could solve the problem without having this question about why there's Demei Chatat there. Because of the way that he phrased it in our Mishnah versus the way that he phrased it in the Mishnah in Mi'ilah. Right now, the Gemara continues with the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, which it says, "Rak kodoshecha asher yulucha unidarecha." So now, what are these kodoshim that we are speaking about? If you think we're speaking about regular kodoshim or nidarim that you are bringing, those are already well-defined and spoken about in Vayikra, as well as in Sefer Dvarim. So this must be talking about something else. What's it talking about? Bevladei kodoshim ubitmuratam. Hakatub midaber. Talking about babies that were born to kodoshim, or kodoshim that were exchanged tmurah onto another item improperly, but the other item becomes kadosh. And the Mefarish says that asher yulucho means things that will be for you in the future from the kodoshim that exist today. And that is a vlad of kodoshim, or a tmura of kodoshim. So it says over here, rak kodoshecha, elu atmurot, asheyulucho, elu avladot. That's the drusha that the Gemara has in tmura. And the olah and shlamim themselves, we already have from the parshiot and vayikra. So it must be talking about something else, and that something else is the Tmuran of Ladot that are Nidrash from this Pasuk according to the Gemara in Tmura. And the Rosh thinks that's learnt out from the fact that it says, by Tmura, by Yahu, Utmurato ye Kodesh, and that's connected to Rak Kodeshecha Asher Yulecha, and Asher Yulecha, Elu of Ladot, Mishum de Kdoshim Behavyatan, Venodul Kodeshim, that they are born into their Kdusha, and that's why they are Kodeshecha Yu, they are Havyatan Bikdusha, that their existence comes about in Kedusha, because they're born as Kodeshim. So from the word Kodesh in Yu, the Rosh says that we learn out these two dinim. Matakanatan, what do you do with such items? These Kodeshecha, and then these Nidarim that come about. Tisa uvata elamakom asher yivchar Hashem. You bring them up to the place which Hashem has chosen, which means to the Mikdash. Yochol yaleim lebeit ha-bechira v'imaneh mehem mayim u'mazon. So you would think you bring them up to the Beit HaMikdash, and then they're subject to the rule of a chatat, which is a chatat is lemita. So you bring them up to the Beit HaBechira, and then you lock them up in the kippah, withholding food from them. And that's what you would do with these items. Bishvil shiyamotu, so that they die, these animals, because they're not roi the mizbech, but they're subject to the rule that since they're not roi the mizbech and you can't do anything with them, they are lemita. Tomal Omar, Basita olotecha basar v'adam. It says over there that you make the olot habasar v'adam, and the pasuk continues v'adam zvachecha yishafech al mizbach Hashem elokecha, that you will spill the blood onto the mizbeach v'basar tochal, and the basar you will eat. That references the latter part of the pasuk, references to shlamim, and the earlier part of the pasuk is basita olotecha, refers to olot. So that means lomar lecha kederech shatanu heg ba'ula nahog be'tmurata. The same way that you act with an ola, you treat the tmura. Kederech shata nuheg b'shlamim, nuhog b'vladehem. And the same way you conduct yourself with a shlamim, that is a neder or nidava, so too you will treat the vladot. Now here, the Braita from Rabbi Yishmael specifically says by the ola tmura, and by the shlamim vladot, because an ola always is male. An ola is always a zakhar. So there's no such thing as vladot when it comes to an ola. The only thing that you can have from an ola that's a derivative of the korban is a tmura, where you try to exchange it onto another animal. And then in shlamim comes zachar and nekeva. So therefore by shlamim you could have a tmura, but you can also have a vlad. And that's why the Braita focuses vlad by shlamim and tmura by the ola. But it would also be true by the tmura shlamim, which is that these items that are derivative kodashim, if they come about from an animal that you have that is Kodesh, then they also end up on the Mizbeach. And they are brought as Olot or Shlamim on the Mizbeach. Yochol af vlad chatat utmurat Hashem. You would think that the rule is similar when it comes to a offspring of a chatat or an exchange of an Hashem. Here he had the same din. An Hashem only comes from a zachar, only comes from a male animal. Chatat is usually nekeva. There are a couple instances where it's a zachar, but almost always a nekeva. And therefore, you're talking about the offspring of a chatat, and it's murah of a sham. You would think that their din is dissimilar to the olah de shlamim, which is the derivative ends up on the mizbeach. Tamlomar rak. Pasuk begins rak. Rak is a miut. And therefore, the miut tells you that you may not bring them on the mizbeach. So therefore, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that is the drush of Rabbi Shmuel, and from that is the answer to Reish Lakish's din. Reish Lakish says when it comes to the ma'ot of the Nazir, where they are stumim, there the motar neder, the excess of the neder, gets parlayed into a nidava, ends up on the mizbeach as ulot. Why by ma'ot mifurashim is that not the case? Because of the limud of Rabbi Shmuel. The limud of Rabbi Shmuel says, yes, ola, yes, shlamim, when they are motar, when they are excess. And here the Gemara is being motar the same as a vlad or a tmura, these derivative kedushot, that they are brought on the mizbeach, but the chatat is not put on the mizbeach because rak is a miut that says it doesn't go on the mizbeach. So from there we know Reish Lakish's din is different between stumot, maot stumot, and maot that are mifurashot. If they're mefurashot, then you go one by one and figure out what the din is. Chatat is lemita or the yam hamelach, depending if it's money or an animal. Shlamim is brought, like we said yesterday, like a shlamim, like an il nazir. And the Ola is brought as an Olat Nidava. But that's why his din is different between Stumim and Mifurashim, because of this Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer, you know, Tzarich. You don't need that whole limud of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Omer, Asham Hu. By the Asham, by the Kurban Asham, it says Asham Hu. Behabiyato, Yehei. That it should remain as an Asham. And we'll see what that means in Rabbi Kiva's statement. Tani. So now the Gemara uses the word Tani, the equivalent in other places in Shas to Amamar. So Tani over here means that we just said something. Amamar means that we just quoted a Braita. And now we want to discuss that Braita. So here, Amamar, Yochol Yaleim the Beit HaBichira, V'yimaneh mehem mayim u'mazon b'shvo shimotu. You would think you bring them up to the Mikdash and withhold from them food and water so that they die. I mean, the din of a chatat. Tom lomar, vasita olotecha, v'amai. Why do you need the pasuk at all? Ha, v'lad chatat hu d'gemirin ba'mita. We only have a locha l'moshe misinai with regards to an offspring of a chatat, that the offspring of a chatat is l'mita. There are chamesh chataot that are metot. Amongst those chamesh chataot that are metot, we have v'lad chatat, which is the one we're interested here. T'murat chatat. Again, we're interested over here. Chatat shemetu baleha. Chatat shenitkapru baleha. And avrashnata. A chatat is always in its first year. If it's older than 1 year old, all those chataot are the mita. That's a lacha l'moshe misinai, that these five chataot go the mita. But that's only said by a chatat. So why would you have a havamina that an ola and a shlamim should have the same din as a chatat? There's no halacha l'moshe misinai by an ola shlamim. So what is the assumption here in the havamina that I need a pasuk to tell me that the ola and shlamim don't go the mita, they end up on the mizbeach? Why would you make any assumption that they should be the mita? There's nothing indicating that they should be the mita. It says, ilavkra, had it not been for the pasuk havamina, I would have assumed vlad chatat b'chol makom. And when it comes to vlad chatat, that is the mita wherever it is. Uvladei kodashim bebeita bechira. When it comes to other kodashim, that has to be brought up to the mikdash, and over there it is the mita. Kamash v'lan dolo. That's what the pasuk comes to teach you. So we have the halacha l'moshe misinai. We would have thought that the halacha l'moshe misinai is not that the chatat, vlad chatat is the mita, or tumrat chatat is the mita. That the halacha l'moshe misinai teaches me that it's the mita wherever they're found. You don't have to bring them up to the mikdash. Implying that for any other korban, they're not subject to that halacha l'moshe misinai anywhere, but they still have to be brought up to the mikdash, and they're mita in the mikdash. They're not put on the mizbeach. The pasuk comes along and teaches you, no, not only are they brought up to the mikdash, but they're also put on the mizbeach. And that's the chiddush of the pasuk. Now the Gemara says, Ketani again, like Amar Mar. Gemara is going back to the braita I just quoted from Rabbi Shmuel, which says, Yochol af vlad chatat tumrat hasham kein. We would have thought that a vlad chatat or tumrat hasham should end up on the mizbeach. Tamlo merak. You have the rak, which is a miut. Gemara again says, Lamalikra. What do I need a pasuk for? Hilchoto gemiralo. That is halacha l'moshe misinai, that vlad chatat amita azil. Straightforward. It's a halacha l'moshe misinai, that any offspring of a chatat ends up in the mita. Why do I need a pasuk to teach me that it goes to the mita? Where it says, hachanami, you're right. In terms of chatat, we don't need it. Recall the asham hu da'ata. The pasuk is there to exclude the asham. And the Gemara says, the same halacha l'moshe misinai that deals with a chatat also deals with an asham. Asham nami hilchoto gemiralo. The asham is also a halacha l'moshe misinai. Kol, she'ilu b'chatat meita, basham ro'eh. The din is that anything by the five chataot that are mito, the similar scenario by an asham, ends up, l'ri'ya means that you put it out to graze until it gets a mum, you redeem it, and with those monies, you purchase olot, or they go to olot and dava. So that's the din of an asham. So we also have the halacha l'moshe misinai, that the asham does not end up on the mizbeach, but rather it goes out to graze. It is monetized, and with that money, then you bring korbanot, olot, nedava, then end up on the mizbeach. So I have a halacha l'moshe misinai that the vlad chatat, murat chatat is the mita. That same halacha l'moshe misinai tells me that whatever is true by the chatat, the mita, by nasham, is l'ri'ya, goes out to graze, and the monies are used after it gets a mum in it, it's redeemed, and those monies are used towards olot, nedava. So what do I need the pasuk for? Ela, imi hilchata, had it just been for the halacha l'moshe misinai, Havamina hilchata, that the halacha l'moshe misinai is such that the lechatchiloi, a vlad chatat, tumrat chatat, are the mita. And asham, that is, a tumrat asham, is not the mita, but rather the ri'iyah. But that's lechatchila. V'akrevei lo lichayvelei v'lo klum. But if you put it on the mizbeach, No, nothing bad has happened. Bidiyavad, if you did it, okay, it ended up on the Mizbeach. It's not what you're supposed to do, but it's also nothing negative. There's nothing wrong necessarily with doing that. Kamash v'lon krol. The pasuk teaches you, the makiv le kayim ale baseh. That if you actually put it on the Mizbeach, the pasuk says rak. Only these items may end up in the Mizbeach, not other items. The lav abba miklal aseh, so therefore it is an aseh. So there's a violation of a mitzvah that I say, which is rak, ola, and shlamim should go on the mizbeach. You infer from there that you should not be putting a nasham and a chatat on the mizbeach. So it's a lav, a ba, michlal, a say. The say is to put the ola and shlamim on. The lav is don't put a chatat and a sham on it. But a lav, a ba, michlal, a say is an assay because it's a derivative of an assay. Therefore, there is a violation of a positive commandment if you put the chatat and a sham on the mizbeach. And do not follow the locha, the Moshe Mitzinai. So that's the din that we learn out from the pasuk over here. Now, going back to Rabbi Akiva's din, which is, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Enu Tzarich, Rabbi Omer, Asham Hu, Babiato Yehe. So Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Shmuel, we don't need your psukim. We already have it by the Asham. Now, as Tosafot points out over here, this statement of Rabbi Akiva is not so simple anymore. Because if you look at Rabbi Shmuel's quoting of the psukim, he's not using it for the Iker Din. He's rather teaching you something extra. Number one is the excess Pasuk by Olah Shlamim is teaching you that they end up on the Mizbeach and not Lemita. Number two is the Pasuk of Rak, which excludes the Chatat and Hasham, came to put an Asay on them. So what's Rabbi Akiva saying? It's not necessary. I have Hasham Hu. Hasham Hu is not an Asay, so you wouldn't have learned that Chiddush out of the Hasham Hu. And so what is Rabbi Akiva really asking about with Rabbi Shmuel? Or what is he really saying to Rabbi Shmuel? So Tosafot over here suggests that Rabbi Akiva misunderstood Rabbi Shmuel's din. And he thought that Rabbi Shmuel's din was not a din like we suggest in the Gemara here, that it's a chiddush. You have an assay not to put the asham and the chatat on the mizbeach. But rather, he thought that was his ikar halacha. That he didn't have the halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai. And he was learning out of the psukim that an asham can't end up on the Mizbeach, and a Chatat can't end up on the Mizbeach, like the Halacha of the Moshe Mitzinai says. To that, Rabbi Akiva responded and says, you don't have to use the Pasuk in Devarim, you already have the Pasuk by the Asham, which is Asham Hu. It remains an Asham. You can't change an Asham into something else. It remains an Asham, and will not turn into an Olam. It will not turn into an Nidava. And therefore, it teaches you that the Asham has to go out to graze, get a moment, and then be redeemed. So if you think that Rabbi Shmuel is teaching you the din, that the Asham does not go on the Mizbeach, but rather the Re'iyah, then Rabbi Akiva says, you don't need your limud, Rabbi Shmuel, because I can learn that out from Asham Hu, and I don't need the limud from Dvarim. On the other hand, if you believe that, like we said here in the Gemara, that Rabbi Shmuel has the Loch of the Moshe Mitzinai, and then, based on that, we have to find a chiddush in each of these psukim. Then the drosha over here has value in terms of itself without the word asham, because you wouldn't have learned out the asay from asham hu. Asham hu doesn't teach you an asay not to put it on the mizbeach. That's not the way that it sounds. That's not the gist of that pasuk. And therefore, you would need these psukim of Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Akiva's question, Rabbi Shmuel, is based on that misunderstanding of what Rabbi Shmuel is trying to accomplish here, which really is the pashtut of Rabbi Shmuel's statement, which seems like he is saying this is the reason the Asham and the Chatat don't end up in the Mizbeach, because of these psukim rather than the Halacha of Moshe Mitzinai. And that's how Rabbi Akiva understood it. He said, if that's the case, use the pasuk of Asham Hu, not these psukim. Once we agree that there is a Halacha of Moshe Mitzinai, and Rabbi Shmuel is coming along to teach us the din, that there's an assay not to put them in the Mizbeach, and the other din that we saw before, that the Olah and Shlamim do not go to Mitah, then there's a necessity for the psukim, independent of Rabbi Akiva's statement, and Rabbi Akiva's question on Rabbi Shmuel is no longer valid. But then we have the question on Rabbi Akiva itself, which is, Lama Likra? What do I need a pasuk according to Rabbi Shmuel? Gemara, Gemirin La. We already have the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, which we just quoted before, which is, Kosh B'Chatat Meita, B'Sham Ro'eh. Then anything that by a Chatat would be deemed L'Mita, the Chamesh Chataot, that L'Mita, by an Hasham, it goes out, L'Ri'iyah, goes out to graze. And it gets a moment as exchanged then for a korban. So I don't need a shamhu to teach me that. I could have learned that out from the Halacha of Moshe Mitzinai. When it says, Hachanami, you're right. We learned it out of the Halacha of Moshe Mitzinai. V'chiyat akro, the derav. The pasuk comes to teach us the din of rav. The omer of hunam rav. Asham shenitak l'riyah. V'shachato l'shem olah kasher. That an asham that goes out to graze, that threshold of riyah is either that the gizbar determines that that's the point that it's going out to riyah, or that it's actually given over to the ro'ed, it's given over to the shepherd to take care of it. But that threshold is called nitak liriyah. And then the person checks that the shem olah, it is kasher. And then the Gemara concludes here, taimo de nitak. It's only because it was set out to graze. Halo nitak, lo. But if it's not set out to graze, that would not be the case. Here, there is a machloket as to what exactly the din of nitak the riyah is. We've actually seen this before in the Gemara in Psachim when it discussed it, which is with regards to a Psachim that if a Korban Pesach is excess, it's brought as a shlamim. Now there, the Gemara discussed, when does it become a shlamim? Does it automatically become a shlamim, or does it have to be nitak the riyah? Does it have to be put out to graze, meaning that you have to say that it's no longer, or define it no longer as a Pesach, and then it becomes a shlamim? Then what happens when you shecht it? If you shecht it stam, does it become a shlamim, or does it remain a Pesach? Does it matter if there was nitak or not? We saw that in the Gemara in Psachim. Over there, the Gemara also discussed this issue of an asham. Asham, which has the same issue, which is, when does the asham become an olah? When does that threshold from when it switches from being an asham to being an olah? And what seems from our Gemara over here is shenitak the riyah. Once it's put out to graze, that's that transition point. Therefore, after that point in time, if you were to shecht it as an olah, it would be deemed an olah, and it's lost its shame asham at that point. And that is what seemingly is coming out of Rabbi Akiva's statement, is asham ho, b'abiyato yehei. It remains as asham until you define it otherwise. How do you define it otherwise? You put it out to pasture. When you put it out to pasture, it's clear you're not going to use it as an asham anymore. Over here, the Mefaresh has three different ways to read this Gemara. And then the Rabbeinu Tam, who's quoted by all the Rishonim over here, has a fourth way to read the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam's Shita requires changing the Girsa Ot over here. But it's based on the Gemara's everywhere else in Shas, which seem to indicate that what we're saying now is just not true. And that's what we'll deal with that in 1 second. So the Mefaresh notes that if you were to come to the Beit HaMikdash, and you saw something being shechted as an olah, or you saw something being shechted as an asham, you would actually not be able to tell them apart. An olah is a zachar, and asham is a zachar. They're both kodshei kodashim, which means that they're shechted in the north. In addition to that, what is their matan damim on the mizbeach? Shtayim shein arba. They look identical. The asham and the olah look identical. And therefore, that's why, in some senses, the asham turns into an olah, because it's not very different than the asham itself. But when does that happen, or how does that happen? The Mefaresh over here in the first explanation says, Kagon, Tumurat Hasham, Oshi Avrashnato, Oshi Nitkapru Balab, Oshi Meitu, Venitak Liriyah, that it was put out to graze. Shiatzav Yireh Ad Shiyistayif, it was put out until it gets a mum, V'imacher, and then it'll be sold, v'yiplu damav l'nidava, and then the monies will be used towards nidava. Shikdim, shachato l'shem olah, kasher. Ho, v'sofo, l'shipol momom, hu nimkar. Since in the end, what will happen to this animal in the end anyway, is that if it gets a mom, it'll be sold as an olah. Mivim midamav olat nidava, kamash v'lan, the time of the nitak. Hanu nitak, av shlo shachato l'shem olah, el shachato sam, enu kasher. So, if you shacht it before nitak, then the stam is an asham. After nitak, whether you shechted the shem olah, or you shechted even maybe stam, over there it's already got a shem olah to it. So what it's saying is there's a threshold here. Before the nitak, before it's put out to graze, then it's stam and asham. And if you shechted, it's going to be no good because an asham cannot be brought as a nidava. And so when you shechted, it's really an asham and you don't need the asham. Therefore, it's a worthless or meaningless korban. We have to get rid of it because it's not a good korban at this point. Once it crosses over that threshold to put out the graze, then the end game is that it's going to be an olah. Since the end game is an olah, therefore, if you come and shecht the shem olah, that's what it'll be. Maybe if you shecht it stam, then it's already in the world of olah. And since in the world of olah, then if you shecht it, then we're going to bring it as an olah. And that's because of the pasuk, b'havyad tovya, hey? It remains an asham until you put it out, liriyah. And that's what you learn from that pasuk of Rabbi Akiva. Then he brings inyan acher. Another explanation of this. Asham shenitak, gon shehifrisho vavad. He separated it out and got lost. V'ifrish acher taktav. And then he brings another one. V'achar kach nimtza, uva gizbar v'amar. Inateg zeh liriyah. The gizbar says, listen, this is excess. Put it out to graze. Vavar v'shachatol l'shem olah. Instead of letting it graze, he violates that in shechsa l'olah. Kasher l'zrok damo l'shem olah. V'lasotu kalil kolah afilu l'chatkila. You're allowed to then put it in as a korban olah l'chatkila. Mishom, and that's where the Mefresh explains over here, that there's no difference between an olah and an asham. They look identical, except for the fact in the end that the asham is eaten by the Kohanim, whereas the olah ends up kalil al mizbeach. So what the Mefresh suggests over here is that the din of changing Kodashim to a different name by asham will be different than other Kodashim. By other Kodashim, if you shek them, lo l'shem, whatever korban they were, so every other korban, shalo lishma, is kasher, that's what we have in general. It's kasher, even if you shek the shalo lishma, and it remains the original korban, except for the fact that the balim are not yotzei with that korban. Whereas over here, this is the exception to the rule, which is, that if you do it l'shem olah, it actually turns into an olah. Because, taima dinitak. Halo nitak, lo shari lizrok tomo lasoto kalil kolah, damakra, hu, b'av yetoyehei. The pasuk says that while it's an asham, it remains an asham. You can't convert it from an asham to an olah until it goes out the ri'iyah. Once you put it out the ri'iyah, then if you do it shlo lishma, lo lishem asham, you're doing it lishem olah, it turns into olah, as opposed to any other korban, that if you did it lishem olah, it remained the original korban. That's a din in Zvachim that we learned, that any korban that's brought shlo lishma, the korban is kasher, it's just the balim are not yotzei, they don't not discharge their obligation with that korban. Over here, the din will be different, that when you do it l'shem olah, which is shalol lishma here, it's supposed to be an asham, do it l'shem olah, and yet to have a mum in it, so it's still an asham. The special rule is that after it's nitak d'riyah, once it's put out to graze, then if you do it l'shem olah, it turns into an olah. The third explanation of the Mefresh is, inyan acher, nitak v'shachato l'shem olah, kasher l'zrok tamo l'shem olah. That if you shecht it l'shem olah, you can put it on the olah, aval lo nitak pasul. If it's not nitak, it's pasul legamre. Pishom de l'shem asham lo matzi zarekle, because he can't do it l'shem asham. As opposed to any other korban, that even if it was not nitak, you could shecht it l'shem olah without any problem. So as opposed to the second answer, which says that if you do it prior to nitak, then it's like any other korban where you do it shlo lishma, then it's that korban, it becomes an asham, and it's an asham shlo lishma, which goes on the mizbeach. On the other hand, if it's after nitak, then it becomes an olah, and you bring it as an olah. And the third answer, after nitak, the riyah, it's the same thing, which is that it'll go out, it'll be an olah. If you shecht the l'shem olah, it becomes an olah. But prior to nitak, the riyah, if you shecht the l'shem olah, unlike older korbanot, where you shecht them slowly, shma, they're kasher, over here it will not be kasher. Why? Because it says asham. Who? It remains an asham, and if you try to change it, that ruins it. It ruins it completely. So those are the three different explanations of the Mefresh as to what the transition from lifnei riyah to after riyah is. In the first scenario, it's the question of when you shecht it after it goes after riyah, then the stam shechita then becomes le'olah. And that's what the transition that happens at that point in time is, that if you are shecht it for an olah beforehand, since when it would become a mum and it would become an olah, that is why it works, but that's only if nitak. If it's not nitak, then it will not be an olah and it will not be kasher. On the other hand, in the latter two cases, after it's nitak the riyah, yishechta l'shem olah, it turns into an olah, similar to what we said in the first case. But prior to nitak the olah, in the second answer, the Mefresh says it becomes an asham, because it's an asham shalol lishma, which remains an asham. In the third answer, it's an asham that is shalol lishma, and that means that it is pasul legamre, according to this, unlike other zvachim. So that's the explanation of the Mefresh. Over here, the three different explanations of the Mefresh. The Rabbeinu Tam claims that there is no such thing as nitak d'riyah midoraita. Midoraita, automatically, when an asham is no longer valuable as an asham, it turns into a olat nidava, automatically. There's nothing you have to do, it becomes an olat nidava. But Chazal, midrabanan, they instituted that it should be nitak d'riyah. Why? Because otherwise people get confused. They will confuse achar kapara v'lifnei kapara. They would think that you could just bring an asham vadai and turn it into an olah. So what the Chachamim did was they created a threshold so people would understand that achar kapara, then it's nitak d'riyah, and then it becomes an olah. Whereas prior to kapara, you can't do it because you don't put it out to graze at that point in time. So it's an institution, derabanan, to stop people from just converting ashamot into olot, because that's what they would think. They think every asham turns into an olah. So they created this threshold which says, no, if it's nitak teriyah, then it turns into an olah. Shalom nitak teriyah is not an olah. Even though that's really not the doraita threshold. The doraita threshold is this going to be useful as an asham anymore? Or is it no longer valuable as an asham? Because either meitu bala, kipru bala, whatever the scenario is, and therefore it's no longer valuable as an asham, it will turn into an olah. That's the doraita, what happens. And you're going to have to do anything. It automatically moves to olah. Rabbanan instituted this barrier of nitak teriyah in order to make it clear that there's a difference between a regular asham and asham that is no longer useful. Now, that works well with other sugyot and shas, does not work well in our Gemara here, because our Gemara here says, from the pasuk of asham hu, it says, tama de nitak, halo nitak lo, demakar hu, bab yato yehe. Gemara seems to darshan out the nitak teriyah from the asham hu. And the Rabbeinu Tam doesn't see that as the drasha, but rather, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, the hilchada nishnet, b'chokha tat meita, asham olah, b'lo shum nituk. So it doesn't come from the pasuk b'asham ol, because that would make it deoraita that there's a nitak teriyah. And Rabbeinu Tam believes that it is not deoraita. And then he goes on to explain the sugya according to a machloket in the Gemara in Psachim, as to why you need this. According to Rav Huna, Asham Hu means that it has a Shem Asham until you say it's going to be an Olah. You don't need Nitak Teriyah. You simply need to say that it's going to be an Olah instead of an Asham, and that would suffice as the way to move it over. And that's what the Asham Hu. The Asham Hu means that it remains an Asham until you say it's no longer an Asham. But that's all you have to do. And even with that Akira, it would work. There's another ikadamre in Psachim that Rav Huna says that you do not need akira. And it says in Rav Huna that shachato sam kasher leola. If you shacked it stam, it would automatically be on ola. And then, what would be the asham hu? That's what the puzzle teaches you, that you would have thought you need to change it and say that it's an ola. The puzzle comes and says, the gamar kra hu, babiato dehe. Shehei lachar kabar omei do ola. Babiato dehe is not that it remains an asham. But habiyado yehei means that it will turn into an olah, and you have to do nothing to turn it into olah. That's the automatic path for the asham, is that it becomes an olah, and that's habiyado yehei. So the Rabbeinu Tam explains, according to the two versions of Rav Huna in Psachim, whether you require to say that it's l'shem olah, or you don't require to say that it's l'shem olah, that you would interpret the pasuk over here of asham ho, the one who says that you have to say olah, it remains an asham until you articulate that it's an olah. According to the one who says you don't have to articulate it, then asham ho, hey, means it turns automatically into an olah, and it is an olah. That's what habiyatoy hey means. And you can check that. This nitak teriyah is all an institution the rabbanan, and therefore he will eliminate from the girsa over here a time of the nitak, al nitak lo. So he eliminates that completely from the girsa because it doesn't come from the pasuk. That is an institution the rabbanan, and he explains what the drosha is from the pasuk according to the Rabbeinu Tam. The Shita Mekubetzah does bring another interpretation, which says that the Asham Hu here is referencing a case where you lost an Asham and separated out a second Asham, and now you have both Ashamot in front of you. In that case, the Asham, if you shechted at that point, would be Pasul, because Asham Hu, it remains an Asham, because you have yet to be Makriv, the Kaparat Asham. Until you Makriv one of those Korbanot as an Asham, the other one does not become an Olah, and remains Asham Hu, and that would be Pasul, Midoraita. That avoids a lot of the problems raised by the questions of Rabbeinu Tam. Maintains it at a Doraita level, unlike the explanation of the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, we're going to stop here. Two lines from the bottom of Chafei Amud Bet.